sunshine to make you grin. We're here to bring you sunshine, let that sunshine in. Pull back the shadows of misery, blow away the dust and you'll be free to soak up some sunshine. Let that sunshine in.
Hello, welcome to a rather special edition of our show. We are very pleased to announce that we've been chosen to launch the latest breakthrough in broadcasting technology. First came sound, then came pictures. Now, for the first time ever, the BBC will be broadcasting smells. Yes, aroma radio. So place your nostrils as near to the set as possible, and in the next 25 minutes, experience the many subtle fragrances of new mown hay, rose petals, empty beer cans, potato peelings, and instant sunshine jokes. In other words, a load of old rubbish.
I was loveless and alone and drinking whiskey on my own, when love breezed in and took my nose by storm. For all at once I was aware of heavy fragrance in the air, a scent which made the nostrils flare both sweet and warm. As she walked into the room, I caught a hint of her perfume, which lingered like a kiss on lover's lips. And now it haunts me to this day, her fragrance stole my heart away, that wicked bittersweet bouquet of fish and chips. She served the cod and deep French fries with giant saveloys and pies at the local fish and chip shop with her hair rolls held in clips. And this elusive scent she wore, a sweet suggestion and no more. Was this the fat that scorched a thousand chips?
Hello, Ducky. What you want tonight? I've got a bit of haddock that I'm sure will put you right. Or perhaps a nice pair of cod fillets you can chew. But you'll need a good-sized gherkin if you do.
Sweet as incense from the east, her rare perfume was like a feast of battered haddock, vinegar and salt. And every subtle nuance lent a tempting amorous intent to a sultry seafood scent I could not fault. Mona Lisa serving place, a haunting smile upon her face, as she wrapped up rock with chips thrown in at 50 pence apiece, while clinging in her curled hair, a scent which drove me to despair, a Byronic blend of fragrances from Greece.
Hello, sweetheart, have you tried my rock? I like to keep it fresh and I've got a lot in stock. Or try some place, and when I'm off at 9... what's it gonna be, your place or mine?
Though exotically perfumed, our pungent love affair was doomed. One day her fatty fragrance was no more. And with no evident regret, she changed her job and her toilette, selling scent and cheap cosmetics door to door.
Hello, love. Now, what's your favourite smell? I've got some lovely aftershave I'm trying to sell. Rich sheets and spices all mixed up, and then I've called it Sultan vinegar for men.
I smell my fragrant deep-fried batter love no more.
Sorry, rock's off, dear.
Well, for a top poet, Shakespeare got away with some pretty rum verse, didn't he? I mean, hardly any of it actually rhymed. I mean, at times he does try, for instance, with the witches in Macbeth.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
I mean, that's not bad, is it? Not bad. Usually, I mean, he would write something like,
when shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in winds light to variable?
He doesn't. He even gets better. He gets better.
When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won. Done, won.
And you're just beginning to think he's got the hang of it when the next witch says,
where the place upon the heath, there to meet with Macbeth.
I mean, but not only did Shakespeare write bad rhymes, he often wrote bad history as well. And Hamlet is a very good example.
Shakespeare in his greatest play did Hamlet untold harm. The picture painted by the bard of Hamlet as morose has scarred his reputation till this day, and doesn't in the least portray his humour or his charm. Hamlet was a jolly chap and loved to have a giggle. He'd take Ophelia on his lap and make his eyelids wiggle. He'd tell her riddles all the while, hoping that she'd crack her dial, but she craved something more profound, so stepped into a stream and drowned. When young Hamlet played the fool, whole, his mood was quite euphoric. He'd tease his mother as a rule, or dig up bits of Yorick. He'd like to kick the portly pants of Guildenstern and Rosencrantz, or cause distress and much concern to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. I say, the devil damn thee black, thou cream-faced loon, where got'st thou that goose look?
I do not know, where did I got that gooseneck look?
Macbeth, you fool!
I've never even been there!
Hamlet longed to play the fool with trousers limp and saggy, yet his snug tights could not fall down, his crutch was never baggy. He longed to throw a custard pie in his uncle's royal eye, but indecision gripped his mind, and custard pies were hard to find.
I say, is this a dagger that I see before me? That was no dagger, that was my knife!
Hamlet had a deadpan smile, a ham dressed as Prince Charming, and though he didn't often smile, his jokes were quite disarming. He caught Laertes by surprise and caused his premature demise, along with half the court, who found that they'd been poisoned, stabbed or drowned. Hamlet's clowns were rustic wags, too humorous by half, but Hamlet's part is sadly free from waggish wit and repartee, while on and on the drama drags, until at last poor Hamlet flags, dying for a laugh. I say, I've just been with my girlfriend to Denmark.
Jamaica?
No, to Denmark.
Oh, really? Elsinore?
No, Elsie Thomas.
I do not wish to know that. Kindly exit stage left.
I'm sorry, stage right.
I think the most frustrated artists of all time were probably the people in the 20s, the 1920s, who wrote the dialogue for silent films. Their words were never, ever heard, and yet they had to write the dialogue because the actors had to say something, because, you know, you can't go through 3 hours of Ben-Hur and not say anything. But one of them once went too far. He decided to write a love scene between a famous male, this is absolutely true, and female, and the language he gave them was rather fruity. It was not the normal, I love you, darling. It was, ooh, got you a lot. And this silent film went out with this love scene in, and Hollywood receives thousands of letters of complaint from all over America from deaf people who could lip read. See, what the scriptwriter had forgotten was body language, you see. You can not just listen to disgusting dialogue, you can watch it. We use it the whole time. Now, here's a story about someone who, from birth to death, probably didn't actually even say a word.
I was conceived with a nod and a wink, no long conversation or lingering drink, but a gleam in the eye and a touch and a sigh, and in time I was born, just as pink as a prawn and as fresh as a pea from a pod, with a wink and a nod. I learned at school that a nod and a wink was much more instructive than school teachers think. Just a nudge and a look can read like a book. And I learnt when at school that the one golden rule is to push your luck right to the brink with a nod and a wink. It isn't so much what you say, it's the way that you look when you say it. It isn't the game that you play, it's the way that you move when you play it. A smile or a frown or a scowl or a pout, thumbs up or thumbs down, arms crossed or held out, your tongue dare not say what your hands give away while your body is willing to shout all those thoughts that you hardly dare think with a nod and a wink. I found a job with a wink and a nod. I gave the right person a smile and a prod, a nudge and a glance provided my chance to connive and to creep to the top of the heap. And I swam as I watched others sink with a nod and a wink. The day that I die with a nod and a wink, I'll meet with St. Peter and feel my soul shrink. He'll decide with a frown, thumbs up or thumbs down, and I'll nod and he'll wink, and he'll open a chink in his gate, and I'll be in with God with a wink and a nod, with a wink and a nod.
Thank you very much. It gives me great pleasure to welcome onto the show Father's Footsteps. Harriet Neave, Julie Charles, Richard Winch and Gary Pryor. Amorous, glamorous, humorous, numerous, sonorous, but never soporous. They're going to sing a song from the Victorian Music Hall. Or is it the Victorian Albert Hall? Whichever. It provides a welcome contrast since they sing and perform in tune. Ladies and gentlemen, Father's Footsteps.
with some paste. He bought some rolls of paper and a ladder and a brush. And with my mummy's nice coat all at it, he made a rush. When all the paper, the bomb, oh, you couldn't see all the paste. A dabbity here, dabbity there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling and she was stuck to the floor. You never saw a blooming family so stuck up before. Pa fell down the stairs, he dropped his paper hangers care. Not little Henrietta sitting there with her young man. The paste of them together as we thought would be for life. We had to call the parson in to make a man and wife. When the father picked the ball, oh, you couldn't see both the paste. The dabbity here, dabbity there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling, the children stuck to the floor. You never saw a blooming family so stuck up before. We're never going to move away from that house anymore. Cause Pa's gonna stuck the chairs and table to the floor. We can't find our piano though it's broad and rather tall. We think there is behind the paper Pa stuck on the wall.
You couldn't see part the paste.
A dabbity dear, dabbity there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling, the children stuck to the floor. You never saw a blooming family so stuck up before. When father picked the parlour, you couldn't see part the paste. A dabbity dear, dabbity there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling, the children stuck to the floor. You never saw a blooming family so stuck up before.
Thank you, Father's Footsteps. And now, for the most difficult part of the proceedings, we join our guests for a combined number in which we will attempt to keep to tempo, stick to the tune, and offer advice to all you fibre freaks out there. This song explains, in some detail, how to plant, fertilise, grow and crop your own muesli.
I rented an allotment just a year or two ago. I donned my boots and gardening jeans, and in my mind envisaged scenes of cornucopias filled with greens and harvest lush with sprouts and beans that I was bound to grow. So sure was I that I'd succeed, I started out at breakneck speed to clear the verdant growth of weed. I even bought a hoe.
Next to my allotment there's a neat well-tended plot where marrows grow upon a mound, luxuriant broad beans about, and weeds are hardly ever found, for all this earth is hallow ground for sprout, leek and shallot. Weeds are seldom seen, but that is not a thing to wonder at,
for they are sprayed with paraquat to shrill up and rot. We dig our plots and scatter the good seed on the ground.
We fork and mulch and weed and hoe, and hopefully our crop will grow.
And vegetables abound. Clearing my allotment there, I found to my surprise two broken bikes and one tin shack, an old boot and a mouldy mac, a bedstead and a rusty jacket. Once I'd cleared this bric-a-brac, the weeds grew twice the size. I packed and hewed to clear the view and pulled up dock roots two by two. The more I worked, the more they grew before my very eyes.
On my new allotment, robin sang a merry song. As in the spring upon my knees, I planted seeds and prayed that these would grow spring onions, bigger trees, and giant leeks and juicy peas.
But things went sadly wrong.
At harvest time, I gathered in a wurzel with a weevil in, three poor beans and a very thin courgette 2 inches long.
We dig our plot and scatter the good seed on the ground.
We fork and mulch and weed and hoe, and even then our seeds will grow.
But tares and weeds abound. Now on my allotment, Mother Nature has her way.
For I neither reap nor sow, and sell and die in society.
Moths, slugs and bugs and beetles know they're free from noxious spray.
And now my eco-plot's replete
with countless weeds so good to eat,
and wild bees honey rich and sweet,
and berries with their ripe red meat. And I found digging obsolete, and thrown away my hope, my hope,
my hope.
I've thrown away my hope.
Your hope,
my hope. Ladies and gentlemen, Father Switzer.
Good morning, Vicar.
Good morning, my son.
Nice little church you've got here.
Yes, isn't it? It's dedicated to St. James, you know.
Really?
Funny how the word dedication has changed. I mean, it used to mean a lifetime of prayer and good works. Now it just means a record played on the Jimmy Young Show.
Interesting. When does it start?
When does what start?
The service.
Oh, you've come for the service, have you?
Yes, haven't you?
Well, no, not as such. No, I haven't held a service here for... Ooh, since the motorway opened in 1979. Took the wrong exit, did you?
No, I've come for the service.
Well, in that case, we'd better get on with one. Do sit anywhere.
Very civil of you, Vicar.
Right, ready when you are.
I'm ready.
Good, let's go. Brethren, we are gathered here today together to raise our voices...
Hang on. Just a minute, Vicar.
What is it, my son?
You said brethren. You can't say that.
Why on earth not?
Brethren is plural. There's only one of me.
Brother, we are gathered here today together.
No. We can't have brother. This isn't the TUC, you know.
Well, if you don't like brethren and you don't like brother, what exactly do you want?
Brother.
Brother, we are gathered here together today.
No, hang about. What's with the we?
Brother, I am gathered here today to raise our voices.
Voice.
Brother, I am gathered here today to raise my... This is ridiculous. I'm going straight to the hymn. Let us now sing hymn number 291.
No.
What?
I don't want a hymn. I don't like hymns. Let's go on to the next bit. What's the next bit?
Let us now have the first lesson.
Get on with it.
It's not me. You've got to read the first lesson. The vicar never reads the first lesson.
But what can I read? I haven't prepared anything. I've had enough of this. I'm going.
Stay where you are.
But I don't know.
I'm sorry, my son. You have to read the first lesson. It doesn't matter what you read. Look inside your jacket. I'm sure God will provide something.
Here beginneth the first lesson. St. Michael, 43:44. Extra long. 65% wool, 35% polyester. Dry clean only.
Dry clean only. You know, man's journey is a bit like a suit. He starts off full of hope, clean, neatly pressed. All his buttons.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Vicar. Please don't interrupt. But gradually, life's rich panoply becomes threadbare. The elbows get frayed. Your turnips are in tatters. There's lunch on the lapels. But as long as you believe, no matter how worn your cuffs, how bare your collar, you will...
Yes, yes.
You will never get taken to the cleaners.
That was a most... moving parable, my son.
Oh, thank you, Vicar. Now I really must be off.
But I thought you came for the service.
That's right, Vicar. With the silver service and the lead off the roof. They're in the van round the back. Say a prayer for me. Cheerio.
But... Well, God helps those who help themselves, I suppose.
And now a song which really demonstrates Into the Sunshine's musical talents to the full. Unfortunately. It features not only our usual lineup of two guitars, a double bass, and exotic percussion, but also Miles will be tickling the ivories, David will be munching the tin sandwich, and Peter will be getting his lips around the horn over there, and I'll be bending my ear to spot deliberate mistakes. Incidentally, we'd like to dedicate this number to the Distressed Musicians Benevolent Fund, because we've distressed more benevolent musicians than any other group in the country. So here it is then, it's called Everybody's Busy.
I've had a tiring day, wondering what to do, an uninspiring day. Bored the whole day through, I've had no big deals at the bank, no rivals to outflank, but I drank a lot of coffee and tea. My diary is a total blank, and everybody's busy but me. I've had a dreary day, staring at the rain, I've had a weary day. I caught the usual train, I didn't juggle stocks and shares or lunch with millionaires, but I had a canteen sandwich for tea. I've had no clandestine affairs, and everybody's busy but me. Rushing to work in a hurry and trying to ignore the groans, crashing around in a flurry and answering telephones, dashing at life in a scurry and talking in urgent tones. It's too much worry for a lazy bones. I've had a carefree day, I've watched the clock since dawn, I've had a flare-free day, trying not to yawn, no celebration with champagne, no deals clinched on a pane. I'm dynamic as an overripe breed. I'm trying to avoid the strain, and everybody's busy but me. Everybody's busy but me.
Interestingly, there's a movement in the country at present for devolution. Did you know that? It goes much deeper than the Welsh and Scottish nationalists. Subversive musicians, poets and bards are composing devolutionary songs and singing them at secret meetings in centres throughout the country. And here is a typical example.
Home rule for Runcorn, let Runcorn voices raise the loyal prayer, God save our mayor, for Runcorn rules the ways. Home rule for Runcorn, Runcorn near the sea, the old town hall will never fall, and Runcorn will be free.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the author of this song, the Bard from Runcorn. Just barred from Runcorn, barred from Widnes and the whole of the world.
Runcorn roads are clear and wide, Runcorn life is dignified, Runcorn folk have Runcorn pride, with wise men running Runcorn.
On a clear day is it still quite possible to see the vista of old Widnes Dock from Runcorn ancient quay.
Hear the merchant vessel on the Mersey sound their horn, smell the cargo on the quay, coffee, coal and corn. Feel beneath your feet the road that Roman feet have worn. In Runcorn, Runcorn, home rule for Runcorn, let Runcorn voices raise the loyal prayer, God save our mayor, for Runcorn rules the ways. Home rule for Runcorn, Runcorn near the sea, the old town hall will never fall, and Runcorn will be free.
Runcorn close to Merseyside, Runcorn where good men reside, Runcorn's fame spreads far and wide. Come, oh come to Runcorn.
Is the civic centre clock still stuck at 3:30? Is the kettle boiling? Are there butties still for tea? Raise a loud hosanna to our mayor, for he has sworn here he'll build Jerusalem for children yet unborn. We shall never cease from mental fight until that dawn. In Runcorn, Runcorn.
Hello and goodbye to Instant Sunshine, or if you like, David Barlow, Peter Christie, Miles Kington and Anna Marion Davis, who were reasoning together with their guests, Father's Footsteps. The programme was produced by Richard Edis, and we'll be back next week with another multifarious conglomeration of culture, business, and politics.
Wait a minute, sunshine,
let's have sunshine.
Wait a minute, sunshine, let's have sunshine. We've got sunshine, it's a good time, have a fun time, it's sunshine. We've got sunshine, sunshine, love, that sunshine.